Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, AME Executive Vice President Tom Moran.
Good morning, everybody. This is Tom Moran, the Executive Vice President of Suffolk County AME. Today, my guests are Liz Christensen and Stephanie Bukowinski, who are both emergency service dispatchers with the Suffolk County Department of Fire, Rescue, and Emergency Services, known as FRES, and they also serve their communities as volunteers. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
So I wanted you to both just share with us a little bit about your background, how you got started at FRES, what led you to become volunteer firefighters. But let's start with your beginnings with the county. How did you find out about working there or wanting to work there, and what led you to that?
I actually came to work at the county because of my mom. She told me that getting a civil service job was the way to go. And she helped me pick out the tests to take based off of what criteria I fit. I had my EMT card, so we went with this test amongst many others. And I ended up interviewing for this one, and that's how I found out about the job. It seemed interesting to me, so I went for it. And I ended up getting it 13 years ago.
I started with the county back in 2018. I was working part-time for social services in HEAP. And a bunch of the coworkers there, along with a bunch of my friends from the firehouse, were all like, you got to take every county exam you can. Anything you qualify for, take it. So I was working there. I went into the Suffolk Shuffle, worked a bunch of EMS jobs. I had a bunch of friends who were like, oh, you should take the ESD test, take the emergency service test. I was like, okay, had no clue what it was. Didn't know what I was going into. Took the test, had no desire to be a dispatcher. I didn't want to sit behind a desk all day. Like, I loved working EMS. Friends were like, no, take the job, when I got the canvas letter. I went in for my interview. 4 years later, here I am working for county at FRES, and I love every second of it. It's great.
So I think it's interesting and that our listeners might appreciate it, because a lot of the times when people do take the test, it's because they are dispatchers either at their local firehouse or at a smaller agency that maybe does one or two departments. But both of you did not have any experience, didn't work a dispatch job somewhere right off the street. Liz, you were...
I worked at CVS as a shift supervisor.
So you were at CVS and, getting frantic phone calls and yelling and big emergencies that you were in handling. And Stephanie just touched on what her background was. But both of you have turned this into a career. And that's important when we let people know that there is a 30% retention on these type of jobs, which means if 10 people get hired and go through the training, seven of them never make it off training, or they never last 2 years doing this job. So speak on some of the reasons why you think that there are people that don't last doing this job. Is it because of the stress? Is it because of the call volume? What exactly can you say that your successes were to be in this job more than that 2 year mark, or both made it off training? Stephanie's 4 years in and Liz's 13 years. What are your guys' opinions on the reason why you've had the longevity and are definitely probably this will be the career for you the rest of your lives?
I definitely went into it thinking that it was a career. It wasn't going to be an option for me. Like, this is what I was going to do. I enjoyed doing it. And I decided that that's what I was going to stick with for the rest of my working life.
Same with Liz. I went in with it that the mindset that this was going to be a career. I didn't see like an end date in mind going in. I still don't. But I think like our high turnover rate, like the stress is, our stress volume is very, very high. The call volume is tremendous. And if you're coming from like a single firehouse that just does like the dispatches, the one department and everything, or you're coming from another firehouse that maybe dispatched two or three different agencies and stuff, it's totally different. It's a different ball game. It's a different mindset. You know, you're doing both phones and radios, where, you know, if you're sitting in the firehouse dispatching for them, you're just on the radio. You may answer like a phone call or two, you know, hey, do you know what time this parade is? When are you doing this type like event? Or this is not that. The call volume, the stress, you know, some people just, I would think like just from some friends that have come and gone, friends I've made working there that have come and gone and everything, they don't like sitting behind the desk. They need to be out in the action, like in the trenches, like working on the streets in EMS better than they do sitting behind being the voice behind the radio to the county.
So you both take this job, but prior to you working for the county, you both were volunteers. So you knew that Fres existed from that too, because they're activating the fire departments that you volunteer with. I wanted you both to just touch on your volunteer experience and how long you've been there and the things that you've done on that and outside of your job with the county.
I started with West Sable Fire Department in the juniors program when I was 8 years old. Now I'm in the senior department. I've been in the department for 18 years. I'm an ex-captain of the truck company, and I'm currently serving as a trustee. My entire family is involved in the volunteer fire department, and that's kind of how I got started.
So it was always something that you kind of knew that you were going
to
do.
Yeah, right? I knew it was happening at that point, whether I wanted to or not. I knew it was going to happen.
Been with Farmingville Fire Department for just over 11 years now, but I've grown up in the firehouse. I am like the definition of a firehouse child. My grandfather was in for just under 50 years. My uncle's part of East Islip, along where my grandfather was. My dad joined Farmingville in like 2001, 2002, give or take. So I've just grown up in it and just joined the juniors for a short stint when I was like 8 or 9. Wasn't a fan of it. Didn't like the racing. No offense, Dudley. And then rejoined the juniors when I was like 16, 17 to, you know, use it as like an early entry into the department, and just kind of got like roped into it. And I love every second of it. Just doing EMS is like, I don't know, there's just something about it that just so heartfelt and warming, just to get back to the community and just, you know, get on the ambulance every day. And now being a voice behind the radio, as some would call it, there's just something about it that just kind of like you're stuck with it. It's just like part of the life. It's awesome.
Stephanie is a member of Lightning Engine Company 3 in Farmingville, where I am also a member. I remember first meeting Stephanie, and in the firehouse, everybody has their PPE, their turnout gear that they wear. Where hers was, it said bubble wrap, and I asked, why does it say bubble wrap? And she's like, well, I always break bones or get hurt. So they say that I should be wrapped in the bubble.
Accident prone. What can happen will happen.
So that leads to great experience being in the position that you're in now, answering emergency calls, because, you know, I'm sure more times than not, the injuries that people have, you've already
experienced it, been through it, been there, done that.
So for our listeners, you know, explain to people what a typical day looks like as a Fres dispatcher. When you start your shift every tour, it's obviously never going to be the same type of day, and we'll get into later about how those types of days turn into huge events. But just on a normal day, what does your day look like?
I would say like a normal day is coming in. We can start relieving our coworkers from the prior shift up to a half hour earlier than our shift starts. Anywhere between that 30 minutes, you have a whole crop of people coming in. You're going to find where you're going. You're looking at like the relief board, right? Who's staying, who's going, where you're going to go to relieve the person that's up to go out first.
And you don't know what you're walking into. Like, you know, it's not
no
like
idea what you're walking into.
7:30 in the morning, it's not, you know, no. All right, this event, we have to stop this major emergency or fire.
Yeah.
Because, you know, new people are coming and they have to get there. You know,
no, you're walking in. If something major is going on, you're walking right into the trenches of it. You're either going into the phones, you're going to the radio, and you're getting the report from the person you're relieving. They're going to be like, if you're on the radio, they're going to be like, XYZ is happening. Here you go. Any units are out of service, if there's any like memos or temporary changes, they're gonna let you know about it. You'll have the paperwork there, like reminding you about it. But it's just every shift is something different that you're walking into, and you just really don't know. It's definitely an unknown, and you just kind of, you know, sit down and buckle up for your next 8 or 16 hours.
Does it ever give you stress or like anxiety, like when you're driving to work and you're like, you know, you do work in a job that you don't really know what each day is gonna bring? Right? You find yourself like, you know, hey, I wonder what's going on. Am I going to walk in and everybody's, you know, it's a quote unquote word that never gets used in a 911 center, a quiet day? Or is it, you know, am I walking into something that is going on already? Or is there going to be a major incident going, right?
I don't know about Steph, but I thrive for the major incidents. It makes the day go fast.
Without a doubt.
Keeps you interested. And it's part, you know, that's part of our job. You don't know what you're walking into, but you have to enjoy doing it to be able to do it every day.
So with that in mind, we're a few days removed from the West Hampton brush fire, which took place on Saturday. A little after lunchtime, 1 o'clock, was when things really got started. Both of you were working that day. I think from what we just spoke about, you never know what you're walking into. Now you're both halfway through the shift at that point. So I want you to let our listeners know exactly what was going on that day. And let's go from the start to the finish.
I would say last Saturday started off like any typical 16-hour shift. Walked in the door slightly after 7, knew I was going to be there till like 11, 11:30. And it didn't start off terrible. I was on phones for the first 4 hours. So up until 11:30 that morning, I was on phones.
And when you say phones, so people
answering 911 calls wasn't terrible. You know, as we would say, it was a quiet morning, which is something nobody ever utters in the room. And it was just an easygoing morning. Moved over to the fire radio when it came time to swap sides. And was just sat down on our fire east position like any other day. And it was going great until about 12:45, 1 o'clock. And the brush fire call started dropping in for sunrise. And we're like, all right, you know, didn't think much about it. You know, we get, you know, the brush fire calls here and there throughout the year. We knew the fire weather index was high. We had the memo out, you know, let them know, hey, you know, your index is high today for any units going out.
And the fire weather index is?
Just letting the first outgoing units, fire conditions are like undesirable for the day. They're high. Things are going to burn if they're burning.
It could be a it could be anything from a dry condition to high winds.
And it was both. It was dry conditions, high winds. It was the most undesirable day for any sort of fire to happen, which is what happened. They started dropping in, and we had East Merges, Center Merges, Eastport, and West Hampton all at the same time going. Sunrise was burning from exits 61 to 65 at one point, 4 different fires. It turned chaotic and busy very, very fast. And like the blink of an eye, it was just like other departments going out for their own calls, and they're passing other fires that we didn't even get a call yet in for. And they're like, hey, I need you to activate so-and-so in their department. I'm on scene in their district, and they have, you know, a fire on Sunrise. Okay, great. Like, we got it going. Calls are coming in. We're activating the departments. And then it came to, I need 5 additional GIs and a tanker. And that's where I was like, oh, boy. Reality sunk in.
And the GIs are the larger military vehicles that departments either have converted into trucks that do fight these brush fires. So they, you know, all-terrain vehicles. So you see them, you know, they do not look like a normal fire truck. They, you know, look exactly like they are an old Army truck that is made into firefighting capabilities because they can go into the woods. You know, it's fine when you have a little grass fire on the side of the road. This is for something more like this, where the fire has jumped, moved, and is just going through, you know, it's wildfires. It's going through woods and all the brush and everything that comes in. It's not some area that you can just, you know, walk through and put the fire out.
It turned in like the blink of an eye. It went from a couple units out there to quite a few agencies and departments going out. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. As much as the fire did, our units and agencies going out grew with it.
Yeah, and I believe the number is somewhere 80 fire departments and 10 ambulance companies that were all assigned to this.
We had units as far as Nassau County coming in.
You're watching this, you know, not just grow on your computer screen, but you're hearing it. At what point are you thinking that, hey, this is going to be something big? Is it within the first 5 minutes, first 10 minutes?
I would say within the first like 10 to 20 minutes. The minute that the department had asked for the additional units, the 5 additional GIs and the tanker out, I was like, this is going to be it. Like, this is going to be like a major event. Like, this is going to go beyond what they're asking for now, especially with so many other departments working so many other fires within the same roadway. And it did. It took off like lightning. It just went, and we pulled in. Thankfully, our supervisors are like, they pulled off somebody from the phones and gave us a third fire operator, so we were able to split like our duties that we were doing. So like my position split into two, basically, because we had so many units out there. We ended up opening up another channel, another talk group frequency to use. So like I was in charge of one, my other coworker was in charge of the other one, and then our Fire West operator was doing his thing and helping with everything. Like, it was just the flow that we had. We delegated our tasks the minute we had the third person coming over, and it just flowed as smoothly as it possibly could with what we were given at the time.
Safe to say that you're multitasking. You know, if the fire, as you said, for people that aren't familiar with it, Fire West side is handling West Points in the county. You know, it's kind of like that. That's split. You're working what's called the Fire East position, and you're talking to Eastern and departments. But you know, now you're talking like to the world, right? Because everything is going.
Everybody, if, departments that we don't talk to, like really ever, other than giving them a call, we were talking to on the radio that day. It was massive. The operation was massive. The multitasking that was going on was like way beyond any other normal day that we do. It was a day for the books, to say the least.
So, Liz, this was you came in for that Saturday, correct? Fresh off of a vacation. This is your first tour back, or
yes,
after being off for how long?
That was my first tour back after being off for about 14 days. I walked in like any other morning. Like Steph said, it was an easygoing morning. There wasn't too much going on. I was sitting on the MedCom radio when all these calls started dropping in. And we have a screen that shows us, you know, how many pending calls are waiting for us, for PD, anybody else that takes 911 calls. And all of a sudden, there were 20 calls waiting for Suffolk County PD, and then 30 calls waiting for Suffolk County PD. And all these people are calling in these brush fires. And even though they're trickling in on our side, you know something's going on because you just see those numbers increasing and increasing and increasing.
And when there's a fire that's this big, it's such a large area, people are calling 911. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody's able to, you know, to call. Everybody's calling about a fire, but not all in the same place. It is four separate fires that are all one huge fire at one point. There is all different types of where the call is, what the type of call is. You know, most of them are calling about the brush fire, but, you know, there were buildings and homes, you know, threatened, so people are calling about that. And you guys are on what's called the radio side of the room. The other side of the room is the phone side, the people that are taking the 911 calls. You know what's going on because the phones are just ringing off the hook. Is the, you know, not many phones are on the hook anymore, but, you know, that's pretty much what's going on. So all this chaos is going on, and you guys are still able to communicate and get the resources out there. So, you know, as somebody that's done it, I appreciate what you guys do, and I continue to do. So now that there's a burn ban in effect now because of this, what are some of the things under the state of emergency and the burn ban? What are some of the best practices for people to understand what to do right now while we're in this state?
You definitely don't want to burn any kind of leaves or outside debris. Any of that could take off. You know, you have a leaf that blows away that was on fire, and it could turn into exactly what happened on Saturday. If you do have like a small barbecue or something like that, that's as far as you want to go. You don't want any open flames or anything like that. As like I said, it could just take off, and you might not even know that that's what started it.
During last Saturday's event, the normal day of emergencies that were going on, that you still had to handle the ambulance calls and any other type of emergency that's going on in the county. Was it just like the first ambulance that was free, you were sending them wherever they needed to go, even if it wasn't in their town? And I know that they had resources coming in, like you said, from Nassau County. The county executive had spoken how the mayor of New York, he had offered some services. You know, people were offering stuff up. Where were the resources being kept? Where was the staging going on, and how were you guys deploying it? Was it by priority or was it by need?
It started off by need at first. It was just, I need, you know, X, Y, and Z units, you know, we'll say like 10 of them. And because we had originally four different fires going, there was four different command posts, four different staging areas going on that we were trying to find out as they were coming in. We're like, okay, Eastport, like, where's your staging point? Where's your command post? West Hampton, you know, East Merges, Center Merges, we called and somebody got a hold of them. They're like, all right, send the units that are coming to us to location Y. East Merges had location X, and so on and so forth. And as typical as it's, you know, a wildfire going, everybody wants a piece of the action. So we did have a bunch of units, you know, a bunch of agencies coming up on the radio. There was a few that called in like, hey, we have, you know, we have a crew for, you know, this piece of apparatus. Like, let us know if you need us. So as we were doing that, we were kind of like making a mental note of it. We would let the supervisors know, hey, like, you know, Selden offered up their GI for us. Okay, great. Like, we'll let them know if we need them, basically, at that point. But then it came to a point that unit, like, agencies would come up on the radio, and we were already being, requested by the departments working the fire, like, hey, I need additional units. We're like, oh, so-and-so just came up and said that they have a crew. We're going to send them because we know that they're ready. Like, and at this point, we've depleted all the immediate assets surrounding the departments that are already out there. So kind of went started like that, and then from there, the supervisors took over the requests, and they were making mental notes, and like physical notes. They were writing everything down, and they were, you know, at one point it was, all right, everybody's going to stage at the fire academy, and then it was, all right, now we're going to have some units, we're going to stage them at exit 63. We're going to have them go there, they'll meet somebody there, and then they'll be directed to where they have to go after that point. Like, they'll meet a coordinator on scene.
So as it's needed, they're moving.
It was just an ever-moving operation.
And was the command van sent out immediately?
Both command vans were sent out. MCU-1 went out first, went out with one of the dispatchers and a supervisor. And
for the listeners, there's two mobile command posts, which are basically a rolling radio room, staging area, planning area that get deployed out to major scenes like this, handled by a dispatcher that's usually working in the room. Is sent out into the field immediately just to make the efforts that Stephanie and Liz have been talking easier. And also for the people that are out there running the operation can get more information right in the field in real time.
Command Van 1 went out first. We were told that the MCU-2 went out later on because the drone team ended up going out just to put more eyes in the sky of what we already had. We already, Suffolk County already had the helicopters up looking around. From what we've heard, there was multiple different drones out there, and then Fres deployed their drone team as well.
So it's definitely wasn't the typical Saturday that both of you were probably expecting or maybe not expecting when you came in, but I'll show my age and say that I was a dispatcher in 1995 when those wildfires were going on, and we didn't have a lot of the technology or the resources that you guys, that are doing it. Guys and girls that are doing it now have. So I can appreciate what you guys went through as somebody that, did go through it, be it 30 years ago. But, we've learned a lot from that. You can still drive and see where it was burned off from those fires. And, there's things that are done, whether it be putting roads in through the woods to cut off fires. This was a whole group effort by our workforce and our AME members in Suffolk County, not just the people that work at Fres, which covers the umbrella also of our communications people, but also of OEM and the fire marshals, as well as those working in police emergency. They're in the 911 communications section. We had DPW workers that were out there with heavy equipment helping with the containment, just a group effort. And all our AME members that were part of, they're a large of a population that are volunteer firefighters that were there in that capacity, not on the clock from the county technically, but, helping their local community. How could people that are listening get involved with the local fire department in West Sable or Farmingville?
There's actually a statewide recruitment drive. It's called Recruit New York. It's done through the State Firemen's Association. You go through that, there's actually an email that you could send, and they'll send it directly to your local fire department so they can get in touch with you. West Sable specifically has join@wsfd.com. You send them an email, they'll send you the application, and then you'll start your process to become a member.
So you did touch on that. The Open Your Doors, so to speak, is coming up. That's usually in April where, FASNY promotes it. You can go down on those days, learn about your local fire department. And again, two people that were my guests today were, started their career as volunteers, very young age, both of them. And that led to both of the careers that you both have and this exciting job that you guys both have taken on. And, I'm very proud that you are my coworkers and fellow emergency service dispatcher ones. I thank you. My guests today, again, has been Liz Christensen and Stephanie Bakowinski, both from Prez, the Suffolk County Department of Fire, Rescue, and Emergency Services. I hope everybody has a great and quiet Sunday.